This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Good afternoon. This is the Sue Freeze Show. And people ask me, what is the Sue Freeze Show? And I say it's about seeking passion, purpose, and connection. Positive and negative things happen to us, and we have a choice whether to react or respond. Our decision will create our perspective in life and what we make of our life lessons. Wisdom comes from being honest to ourselves and others, listening to and applying the things that we and others have been through. Take a chance. Share your life experiences to help change or mold a person's life. Plant a seed. Dare to believe and make a difference. To live your life on purpose, for a purpose. So I am going to welcome a special guest today. His name is Terry Hitchcock. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
I am fantastic, but getting better all the time. And you?
Same. I'm fantastic, too. I'm so glad to be on your program.
Well, thank you. It's been a long time coming. We've gone back and forth, and finally we've arrived.
And with a beautiful day here in Minnesota, and I'm sure the same and where you are, it's going to be a fun time talking with you.
All right. So people listening, they're wondering, who is Terry Hitchcock and why are you on the Sue Freeze Show? So I always give a little bio, so I'm going to go ahead and do that to let people know what, you know, what's going on or what's happened with you so they can relate to you or not relate to you. And somehow people always get something out of the show, because that's what we're here for, is for people to get hope when they feel hopeless, to get some type of experience or something that's going to lead them on and carry them through a difficult time. So, Terry, hang on for a second. Let me just read a short bio of you. After tragically losing his wife to breast cancer and struggling to raise three young children on his own, Terry Hitchcock got an idea. He wanted to accomplish the impossible. To run 75 consecutive marathons in 75 consecutive days to bring attention to the incredibly difficult lives of single-parent families. He ran in spite of freezing rain, unbearable heat, chest pains, and bone fractures that racked his 56-year-old body. He just kept running, each day, every day, strengthening an unbreakable bond between father and son, not stopping until he arrived in time for the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. The film also carried the message that we all need to be somebody's hero, no matter what marathon in life you run every day. So there is a film about your story. Is that right, Terry?
Yes, there is. It's a documentary that is called My Run, and it's narrated by Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob. Wow. The film website link to film documentary of on for Terry's achievement is www.myrunmovie.com. So we want to let you know that so you can click on that and, you know, get more information on the movie. And you also have a Facebook page or something? Is that correct?
Yes, there's a Facebook page. There's Twitter. I mean, there's a lot of ways to find out where My Run Movie is. And it's won many, many awards already in the international film festivals.
You know, it's amazing to think that 56 years old, I'm not there yet, but I'm right around the corner. And to think that you ran 75 consecutive marathons, 75 consecutive days, it's just grueling. I don't like to run, personally. I'm not a runner. But if I did run, I would think that this would just be really, really, really difficult. What kept you going?
Well, I was a single parent. As you mentioned, my wife died of breast cancer. I raised my three children. And as I was doing all of this, I realized that, you know, this is a tough job. And you know, I had lost my job a few days after my wife's funeral. I mean, it's kind of a real uphill battle, if you will. And it's called politics in business.
Uh-huh.
So I had to figure out, let's see, how do I... What size clothes do they wear? Because they were 4, 6, and 9 years old.
Mm.
I had no family. And so it was just myself and three little ones, and I had to learn to cook and whatever else I had to do, and it was up to me. And so I was stubborn enough to say, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm going to make it a success story because, you know, our children are our future. And I was raised without a father. I was raised really by my grandparents. And so I did not want my children to be without a father. I wanted them to really have a safe and good life as I raised them. And so I was bound and determined that I was going to provide everything I could for them.
So your trials and tribulations in your childhood caused you to say to yourself, I don't want my children to have to go through those things. So that was part of the strengthening that you had in order to fight this battle of not knowing what to do, but you weren't going to let it get you. And you just went forward. Tell me a little bit more about that childhood, because when we were off the air, we were talking just a little bit, and you mentioned something about kidnapping.
Yes, I was kidnapped by my father when I was about 5 years old. He took me across a couple state lines, and the state police and my mother found me many months later. I was not abused, or at least I don't recall being abused, but I was pretty much hidden away. It was not easy for the police to find me. Mm-hmm. I also was really through a number of broken homes and a street gang, and so I kind of went through a lot of battles, if you will, and my faith, it seemed like, as I look back, just started to slowly grow. I know that I could, I remember kind of searching for something more than I had. I did go to church at times, and I just felt that, you know, God somehow was guiding me and showing me a path, and it was, thank goodness it was the right path. So I had a journey, and it was, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there was a plan for me, and it was just a matter of a lot of things I had to learn to get where perhaps I am today.
So that's really a wonderful story. And would you say that there were people that God placed in your life that helped and guided you to pick those right choices, and you paid attention and you listened to those?
Oh, absolutely. You've heard about a town kind of raises a child. Well, my mother realized that she couldn't raise me, and so in about the seventh grade, she dropped me off with her mom and dad, or my grandparents, and they raised me from that point on. And this was a very, very small town in Vermont, I think about 300 people. And it seemed like everybody was, you know, did the parenting for me. My coach was like my father, and, you know, just people gathered around and took this young kid and said, here's how we do it. Let me show you how. And so I had a lot of adult teachers, if you will, in my life who showed me many different things. And it was the first time that I really had love in my life, and got a lot of hugs, and my grandparents were wonderful, and my grandfather taught me some things that I carry around with me even today. He would say things like, there will be nothing in life that you can't accomplish. Nothing will be impossible. And another thing was, always believe in your dreams, because dreams do come true. And my grandmother would always say to me, can't, never did anything.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that one.
Oh, yeah. And you know, that's really what allowed me to grow and to believe in myself. And I know I asked the Lord when my wife died, and a couple of days later I lost my job, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, and it took, 3-4 months, and I finally got an answer, and the answer was, I want you to teach. And I knew it wasn't to go out and teach a class or something, but he really wanted me to teach others what I have learned about life, and so I'm doing that. I speak really all over the country about nothing is impossible, which is what my grandfather said. And people just come up and hug me and say, you changed my life tonight, because, you know, people are, They just want to know that they can do something with their life. You know, it's not easy out there.
That's very encouraging, and it's so true. People want someone to believe in them.
Yes.
And God believes in us. He created us.
Absolutely.
In His image. And He wants us to do mighty things for Him. And you are doing and have done mighty things, and that's a wonderful thing. I read here that you have been described by the media as a real-life Forrest Gump. I love that movie. What is a memorable story you can tell us?
Well, Sue, there are so many stories, and I'll try to latch on to one. I think the one that comes to mind right now is my team quit after 30 days. I had a team of six young people and a trailer and cars, and everybody was taking care of me as I continued running down the highway. And everybody had a job to do, from laundry to, you can just imagine. And at day 30, five of the six team members decided that this was not fun anymore. They were 17, 18 years old.
Mm.
So my trailer and cars and trucks and supplies and everything is now leaving, except for one old car and my oldest son, Christian, who just looked at me and said, "Dad, I'm not leaving you." Mm. And so we're standing on the side of the road, and there goes all the trucks and cars and team members, and we jam supplies into this old car, and his job now is to take care of me and to do all the jobs that the other five were doing to keep me going and alive. Well, a few days later, Holiday Inn had come to us and said, "Look, you need a place to stay and you need food, so we're going to give you a room every night if you can find a Holiday Inn, and we'll give you both a room and free food."
Oh.
So that was wonderful. And one night, just shortly after this, I got a call from NBC, and they said, "We would like to go with you tomorrow and do some filming all day long." Well, this was, you know, day 33 or 34, whatever it was. And running every day is not good on the body, believe me. And by that time, both of my ankles are fractured.
Oh, my.
My left kneecap is fractured. I mean, I'm in really bad shape. I'm not a real runner, at least that's what I keep saying. But, you know, I've probably covered at least 1,000 miles already. And now NBC wants to go with me the next day. Now, I'm north at that time. I'm north about 30 miles north of St. Louis. And so we're going to be heading towards St. Louis now. So the next morning I come out, and here's the film crew. And so I start running, and Chris is in the car, and he's checking the road ahead. And now we're heading towards St. Louis. As we now get into St. Louis, about every other block, here's the film crew, and Chris is down there with the car waiting to give me ice packs or water or something. And now I'm in part of St. Louis that really is a bad place. It looks like a bomb has gone off. I mean, there's burned out cars and so forth, and there's no NBC. The white truck with NBC on the side is nowhere to be found. And I'm running through this, what we would probably call a pretty bad part of town, and what is happening to me is mothers are coming out of the houses and giving me hugs.
Aww.
Men are coming out and shaking my hand, and some with tears in their eyes, and 20 or 30 kids are running with me like I'm the Pied Piper.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was a celebration, even though, you know, you question how can someone live in that place or that place. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible part of the city. So I get through this part of the city, and I'm now down to the arch, and there's the white NBC truck. And I kind of walk up to the film crew, and I said, "Hey, where were you guys back there?" And very seriously, this member of the film crew said, "Well, Terry, you were running through East St. Louis. Nobody goes through East St. Louis and comes out." And I just looked at him, because to me, it was a real celebration of everybody. You know, when I did my run to market myself I would say things like, well, I'm old as dirt, I'm not a runner, because I never did do a marathon before. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a haircut for a year and a half, so I have white hair down on my shoulders and a long beard. And so, but people would, you know, knew me because I had an outfit that was red, white, and blue with a big, big star on the chest area. So everybody knew who I was halfway down to Atlanta. And for days I kept thinking about that experience. And I finally realized that it's my whole run is really about life. And that run through East St. Louis was about, you know, if they know that you're real, if you're doing things from your heart, then they're going to trust and believe and listen to you. And that's what's many times is missing in our lives. People are trying to do things for the wrong reasons, you know, selfish or whatever. You know, it's you know, we need to be ourselves and to do things to help others, not to worry about ourselves. And that's kind of what I sort of created on my run. People were looking for something to get them started again. And I was that example because I was doing something that every doctor, every runner said was humanly impossible. And I did it because, you know, I believed I could. It was my dream. And as my grandfather said, there's nobody that's going to take your dream away from you, and that nothing is impossible in life.
Amen. You're listening to KKLA 99.5 on the intersection of faith and reason. This is the Sue Freeze Show, and I'm Sue Freeze. And we're talking to Terry Hitchcock right now. And Terry, you said so many wonderful things in our last little session there. And one thing you said was is that you had a uniform. And is this the uniform, original running uniform that was signed and on display at the Newport Sports Museum? Is that the one?
That's the one.
So it's red, white, and blue with a star on it, and it's at the Newport Beach Newport Sports Museum, correct?
That's correct.
And you said so many other things. Like, what did you say about your grandmother said something about can't? Say that again for those that are just tuning in.
Well, I used to say, well, I can't do that. I can't do this. And she'd look at me, and she would say, Terry, can't never did anything.
That is so great. I have to remember that because that is so good. Now, you know, when I read your bio, it talked about the strengthening of an unbreakable bond between father and son. And so you've told the story about, would you say his name is not Christian?
His name is Christian. I call him
Christian.
Chris.
Okay. Yes. And so he was the one that stayed by your side, that didn't leave you. And he was 16 years old at the time.
16 or 17, yes.
And so you have three children. So is Christian your middle, oldest, youngest?
I have three. My oldest is my daughter, Terry Sue. And she was named Terry Sue because I forget names very easily. And so my wife, Sue, said to me, well, why don't we do this? We'll call her Terry Sue. And so I have a daughter, Terry Sue, who is now a high school teacher and married. I have my oldest son, my middle son, is Christian, who is the one who went all the way with me and took care of me all the way to Atlanta, about 2,100 miles.
What a wonderful memory that he'll remember forever. You know, it is a bond, you know. And I'm amazed at that. And I would love to talk to him sometime.
Oh, he's wonderful.
What is he doing now?
He's just finishing up college. He's got about a year to go. He does a lot of things. He's very magical in the heart that he has and the faith that he has. It's interesting. When I started, if your listeners can picture this, I was the father and he was the son. So I would be giving directions and he would be listening like that normal relationship would be. But as I started running and got into it where depression set in and aches and pains and broken bones, the roles reversed themselves. It was now me who was looking up to him and saying, Chris, what do we do now? How can I do this? How can I do that? And so it was a great bonding between father and son, and we became, you know, really, truly best friends through that experience.
So he's going to college. He's got one more year, and what is he planning on doing? Does he know?
He's got two majors, a business major. And then the other major, which he told me recently, he said, I wanted to go out and be a counselor for people with drug and and alcohol issues. He said,
"How wonderful!
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Great. Yeah."
And your youngest?
My youngest is named Jason. He's my kind of my maverick child. He's
maverick child.
He's a, well. We all have to have one of those.
Yeah.
He has tremendous talent in music and art, and he's still trying to figure out what he wants to do with it. But
and that's okay.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So you said that the Lord was guiding you to be a teacher.
Yes.
And look at what you've done. You've got your oldest, that is a teacher.
That's right.
Your middle, that is counseling, which is coaching and teaching.
That's right.
And the young one, who's into art and music, which is probably going to teach through his music or his art.
Yep.
So look at that. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it is. It is. And their mother was a teacher.
Oh, yes, yes. You said that. And that's the mother that was named Sue.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So
interesting journey.
It is. It is. And it is a journey. I love that word journey because that it's so what it is. It's not so black and white because it's a journey and we have to enjoy the journey. It's not about getting there. It is about getting there, but it's about the journey.
As long as you learn as you go through your journey.
Right.
Because, I think every day you have an opportunity to learn new things about life and what more can you give and what more can you do to help that person who fell down in front of you. There's so many stories, but I have to tell you one of the stories at one of the film festivals in Sedona. It was just a magical time. Every time we show the film at a film festival, we have a Q&A after where people in the audience will stay and they'll ask questions about what they saw in the film. And in Sedona, this man stood up and he said, Terry, he said, I'm a runner. I do marathons. I run 24-hour runs, you know, and 250-mile runs, et cetera, et cetera. I'm an ultra-marathoner. And he looked at it. He was just really buff and really certainly looked like an athlete. And he said, I came here to learn more about perhaps something you could say about running. And he said, but I learned tonight something much more important. And then he hesitated, and he looked around, and he said, and there was somebody with him, and turned out to be his spouse. And he said, but I learned something much more important tonight. I learned that I need to love my wife more.
Oh.
And there was just deadly silence, and he just smiled and looked at her and held her hand and then sat back down. And I thought, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's... My run was not a run that we think of as, oh, look, he ran a marathon. It has nothing to do with that. What I was doing was showing everybody that we all run our daily marathons every day. Every day we have a marathon to run. Sometimes it's an easy day. Sometimes it isn't. And we have issues and uphill and downhill and questions as we go through the day. And sometimes it's very, very difficult. And that's what I was doing, and I was trying to show everybody that, you know, if I can do my daily marathons, if I can do what everybody said you can't do, and get through it, then you can too. I mean, you can stand back up or get back up and start again and get through your day. And so that's kind of what I was trying to accomplish.
And I think you did accomplish it.
I think so.
That's so wonderful. We will be back with more of The Sue Freeze Show and Terry Hitchcock on 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, Call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Welcome back. I'm Sue Freeze on the Sue Freeze Show, and we have a special guest, Terry Hitchcock. And he ran a 75 consecutive marathon, 75 consecutive days. I don't know, do the people listening, do you run? If you run, can you imagine running that much? I mean, I get a side ache just running, you know, around the block. So I just can't even imagine. And we've had a wonderful conversation with Terry about this. There is a movie out. It's called My Run. And you can get it on Facebook. There's a link on the film website, and it's My Run, and it's in capital letters, and I don't know if it needs to be. It looks like it has a space. So My Run, just and then there's www.myrunmovie.com. So if you've been listening, even if you haven't been listening, click on that, and you can get more information there. And Terry, are you with me?
I am. Yes, I am.
So we're going to keep going. My Run, the story of your achievement, is in the film festival circuit and has won 8 Best Documentary Awards to date. How does it feel to be subject of an award-winning documentary that's received so much positive attention?
Well, I can only say that the great audiences that have seen it and the critic responses really have been overwhelming. I think it's because it's made sort of what I call an emotional and personal connection to the film. I think everybody relates to it. It's about life. It's not running 75 consecutive marathons, but it's really about the marathon of life, and that's what the film is really all about. And it's all about being somebody's hero, being special to somebody. We can all be a hero to somebody.
And sometimes we just, it could be the person next door. It could be a child next door. It could be even a parent who's struggling through a tough time. And us, we just have to be, we have to make ourselves available.
Yeah, I mean, the need is out there, Sue. I make this statement every time I go someplace and give a talk or a speech, or whether it's 15 people or 1,500, I always have at least one person who will come up to me after, and he or she will give me a hug, and they'll say, "You changed my life tonight." I mean, we're all looking for something to hold on to, and that's what this story is all about. It's portrays somebody running a long, long distance, but it's really about all the marathons that we all run every single day.
And you said that, you know, you lost your first wife to breast cancer, and then you had 3 small children, the ages of 4, 6, and 9. And you didn't know really, you know, what they wore to go to school. You didn't know food. You didn't know, you know, laundry, because you were busy, you know, doing your job, which you lost really right after. How many weeks after you lost your wife, you lost your job?
3 days after the funeral.
Right. And so here you are, you know, your life is going down a path. And then all of a sudden, you know, first you got notification of the situation with your wife. And then, you know, going through that struggle and with the children and all the emotions that go along with that, which there are so many. And those that have been through similar situations can obviously relate. And those that haven't can just imagine what that must have been like. And so here you are, and you're saying, okay, now what? What do I do now? Am I going to let this get me down, or am I going to pick myself up, brush myself off, and make a difference?
Well, it took some time to say that. I was in depression, and thank goodness I had friends who would every once in a while come into my life and give me a hug and tell me it's okay. And it wasn't easy. I think many of us have been through it. But I just felt that somehow I could move forward with my life, and I was going to. I had these three children. I didn't want them to not have a parent, a father, or somebody to look after them. I was going to be that person, and I just had to stand up, like you said, and brush myself off and say, okay, I've got to learn to cook. I couldn't even boil water, but I had to do that, and I had to learn a lot of things. I didn't have a family. There was a mother-in-law that really didn't like me, never did. I'm not sure if mother-in-laws do. So it was really just me and three children and no job, and I had to, I had to get myself up pretty quick and figure out how do I earn an income and how do I bounce back, and I had to learn to communicate with three young children, and I learned very quickly when you communicate with children, I learned quickly that you get at a level, at their level or below their level.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not speaking down to them, but you're actually looking up to them. And I gave a lot of hugs and learned how to do a lot of storytelling, and tried to keep smiles and have fun. So that's kind of how I started.
What I've heard you say repeatedly, and I don't even know if you know you're doing it, but you've said repeatedly about the hugs. That when you went through East St. Louis, women would come out crying and hug you, and that you want to hug your children, and you had friends that would embrace you and hug you, and just there's something magical about hugs, isn't there?
Oh, there is. I remember when I was running, after a while, people said, well, this is a physical run. And initially I would say, well, yes, of course it is. But as I got into it and the pain that develops every moment, it seems like, I realized, no, it's not just a physical run. It's a spiritual run or walk, and it's certainly a mental run, because what happens to you is mentally you start to go into depression. That's what runners call the second wall, which I'm not sure I've ever met a runner who has hit the wall, second wall. There's the first wall at about 20, 21 miles for a marathon, but the second wall was more fictitious in the eyes of the seasoned runner. They said, well, we know there's something out there, but we don't know of anybody that's hit it. Well, I hit it about the 44th day, and what it is the beginning of your body and your mind saying, okay, we've had enough, and you start going into, as one doctor said, a black abyss or depression, and every day it gets worse and worse and worse. I just knew that I was lonely out there. I just knew that I began to feel that no one cares anymore. And so when someone would call me on the cell phone as I'm running and saying, did you enjoy those 50 people that we had waiting for you on the corner back there? They weren't real people to me. They said, what else can we do for you? And I would say without even thinking, I need a hug. And no one really understood that. Even I didn't understand it.
I understand that. I totally do. I try, for parents listening, I tried to hug when my kids were growing up. That skin touch, that hugging your children every day is so vitally important to their safety and their security. Going away and slaying those dragons, going to school with all those hurtful children out there. Children can be so cruel sometimes. And it's just so important to hug your children. Actions speak louder than words. Words are important, but that action of just giving a hug is just major.
That's right.
I totally understand that. I just think hugging is a wonderful thing. So tell us the next festivals that my run will be screened at. So if somebody's listening and they want to, go to a festival or whatnot, you're all over the place. So where are they? Where are they being screened?
Well, I'll try to remember them all, and I'll look at a couple in my calendar. My run is, as I mentioned before, in the National Film Festival circuit. And I believe the next one coming up, it's October 2nd at 3 o'clock. And then the next day, October 3rd at 5:30, and that will be seen at the Gas Lamp Theater on Fifth Avenue in San Diego, which is really an exciting place, I think. And you can go to their website at, I believe it's sdff.org, if I recall.
Okay, that
and
sounds great.
Then...
Oh, there's more.
Yeah, I think, October 2nd, my run can be seen at the Kansas International Film Festival in Overland Park, Kansas. So many of your listeners out there with any friends in Overland Park can go to the festival website for exact times and other details. And then the weekend of November 4th through the 7th, my run can be seen at the Naples International Film Festival in Naples, Florida. And you can check their website around mid-October for a date and ticket information.
So they can go to Facebook and click the link on the film website, and then they can type my run, and they can get all of these dates because they should be on your Facebook page.
That
would be a really good way in case you didn't get that information. You could go on the Facebook, type in my run, and you'll be able to get on their Facebook page and get all of this information because the information will change with time and you want to keep up on it. You also wrote a book about your journey.
I did.
Okay. And so if people wanted to get this book, tell us about the book and how can people get a copy of the book?
Well, the book is called A Father's Odyssey. It's kind of my journey, I guess, if you will, through my lifetime. It originally was going to be just a gift to my my friends and to my children. And then I decided, no, I need to do more with it because it really is a gift to everyone. And so, I give all the proceeds of the book to three charities, breast cancer, diabetes, and Asperger's. Or if someone doesn't know what Asperger's is, it's part of autism.
Oh, my eyebrow went up. I'm like, what? So, no, I did not know what that was. You're listening to KKLA 99.5. This is the Sue Free Show, and we are talking to Terry Hitchcock. And so there's three different places you give the money for your book, three different organizations. You just mentioned those.
Yeah, and you can order the book. Just go to my website, which is www.terryhitchcock.com, and you can order the book that way. I just mail it out to you. The money goes to charity. I sign each book, and I put a personalized letter in with each book. It's kind of my way of giving back, and kind of makes me feel good every time I send books out.
Yes, I think I haven't written a book. That's something on my agenda. I haven't done it yet, and I think that would feel good to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
So, Terry, we've covered a lot of ground. Maybe not as much as you have, but we've covered a lot of ground. And what inspirational message of faith do you want to share with your listeners?
Oh, gosh. I think first of all, looking at the film, the My Run, the message in that is to be somebody's hero. And certainly parents are heroes. And I think God's message to me was to really get out and help others, to carry their burden, to show others that they too can make a difference for others. There's nothing we can't do in life. If someone says, I can't, well, as my grandmother said, can't never do anything. We all can make a difference. We all can do some good. And that's really what I've learned. I've really learned that nothing is impossible. And I can give examples all day long about someone had a dream and everybody said, well, you can't do that. No one's been able to do it. You know, whether it's a four-minute mile or climbing Mount Everest at one time or the other, someone said, well, you can't do that. No one's been able to do it. And yet, you know, people do accomplish it. So live your dream. Believe in yourself and your heart, and you know, give and don't look for something to come back your way. Just pick somebody up as if they fall down. Just do some good. That's what it's all about.
Amen. You know, I've told my children the whole time they've been growing up that God created them for a specific purpose. Do you believe that you fulfilled your purpose?
Oh no.
You still have more to go, huh? You have more to do?
Oh, every time I go out and give a talk, it's like magic, because when I walk on stage, one of the last ones I did with 2,000 people, and I never have a script. I have no idea what I'm going to say. All I need to know is who's out there, what is the theme, and I just create it in my mind as I'm walking on stage, and it just happens. I never stand behind a podium. I just go out and talk about whatever I think is important. And I always use my run as the thread through what I'm talking about that evening. So am I done? Absolutely not. I think a lot of people need to hear my story, and whether it's a church or a corporation or a prison. I mean, I was in a prison recently talking to 300 inmates, and the rules of the prison was you can't touch an inmate, and an inmate can't touch you. And at the end of that probably 2.5-hour meeting or talk, I ended up getting 300 hugs.
Oh.
The administrator was just looking at me, just shaking her head, but she had to, because 300 inmates stood up with their hands raised and said, "I want a hug." And so it's interesting, the path that I'm on and what I'm trying to do. You know, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but there is a DVD that will be coming out, and then the release of the documentary, and I would like to mention that.
Go ahead. You already did, so go ahead.
Okay.
You're so funny.
Well, the DVD is scheduled for release next year, and the studio, Indiewood Pictures, is in development of a release prior to the DVD, which they're very excited about. And I think the website and the Facebook page and so forth will continue to be updated, so all of your listeners can get up-to-date information. And I'm thrilled to have the studio take this story and do the things they're doing with it. I'm blessed, and it's really a privilege to be able to talk about a story that's really helping so many people.
And you're doing a marvelous job. It's amazing how things opened up for you, which it's really not amazing, is it? Because it's God. It's God working, and he works through people, and things happen. You're listening to KKLA 99.5. This is the Sue Free Show, and we're talking to Terry Hitchcock. And Terry Hitchcock has been through a number of things, as so many of us listening have. And what he's done, though, is he's decided that, you know, he's going to use his life and his, you know, tragedies and issues in his life, and he's turned them around to give other people hope. It goes along with the theme of the Sue Free Show, because that's what I've asked people to do. It's what I try to do, because, you know, things happen to us. Things happen. And we have decisions and choices to make in our lives, whether we're going to let it get us down or we're going to turn it around, and we're just going to learn by it and move forward. And that's what Terry has done, is he's moved forward and he's brushed himself off. And, you know, Terry, you were 56 years old when you ran this marathon.
Actually, 57.
Oh, excuse me. You were 57 when you ran the 75. Isn't that interesting? 75-57.
Yes, it is. And I trained for 17 months, and halfway through my training, I had a heart attack.
You didn't tell me that?
The cardiologist was in my hospital room, and I had, I had all these things attached to me, and he said, "Terry, you can't do that. You realize that
there's that word can't."
And then I was smiling, typical Terry smile, and he said, "Look, I'll be in tomorrow morning. We got to talk about this." And so he comes the next morning, he pokes his head into my room, and he looks at me, and he said, "I'm not going to change your mind, am I?" I said, "No." And so he said, "Well, Hitchcock, then, I have to be on your team, because, you know, you can't do this. It's impossible. You just had a heart attack. But if you're going to try this, then I have to be part of this team." So I ended up with four doctors who I would call in, and they would ask me questions every night about how do you feel and so forth. But, you know, that was my dream, and no one was going to take it away. And I felt that God wanted me to do this. I just felt that I could. You know, I'd turn the map upside down, and, gee, it's all downhill. That should be...
That's so funny. So can I ask you how old you are now?
Sure. I'm 71, and actually I feel like I'm 50. And and that's, you know, it's all in the mind. It's age doesn't mean anything. You know, I wasn't a runner. I was a racquetball player. I ran 10Ks in my life, and I came in last on both. And if you've ever done a 10K, at the end of the race, there's the ambulance coming up, and I'm right behind the ambulance. And so, you know, I wasn't a runner. I didn't realize what I was getting myself into, but I knew that running what I wanted to do, people would say, wow, if he could do that, then maybe I could do something. And that's really what I wanted to accomplish.
And we all can do something.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when we go to church, people say, well, you know, I'm not going to go to that church, or I don't want to go to that church anymore because I didn't get anything. And I say, you're not there to get, you're there to give. And if we have the heart of serving, then we need to go. And when I walk into church, I say, okay, God, where do you want me to sit? You know how people in church, you know, they always sit in the same seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just encourage people to, you know, change seats, you know, go somewhere else and ask God to seat you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Every Sunday as I was running and my son was driving down the road to make sure it was clear and safe, every Sunday to just keep the mind alive, we would find some church. Didn't make any difference what church, what denomination. We just had to find a church. And it was a game that we were playing. Chris and I would find the pastor or the minister or whoever, the priest, and we would say, we want to give, you know, the sermon today. And every Sunday on the run to Atlanta, I had the opportunity to speak to a congregation. And, I mean, those are things you do to keep your mind still alive.
Because, is that in the documentary, too, that you did that?
No, it's not.
See, isn't. That is something. That is so special.
Yeah, I ran with a bear one day.
What?
I was in Kentucky, and a bear came out of the woods, and the bear was as scared as I was, and I looked at my feet, and I said, feet, don't fail me now. And I started running down the highway, and the bear started running because it was scared, and we were side by side for about 300 feet. And it went back in the woods, and I just stood there saying, no one's going to believe this. And a lot of things happen to you when you run, you know, you go through life, if you will.
Right.
And that's what I did.
What an amazing story. Well, it's been great, Terry Hitchcock, having you on, and I appreciate your insight and input. I thank all of you for listening to The Sue Free Show, and we'll come back and be with you again next Saturday. So thanks a lot for joining us. Bye for now.
You're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.